Someone has said that teenagers are the easiest people in the world to talk to. Getting them to actually listen is the challenge. You're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. If you're a parent or a carer, you've probably discovered that when it comes to communicating with your kids about important issues of life, it does tend to get more challenging, but it is worth it. And with a little creativity, you can actually have meaningful discussions. Here's Mervyn Nutley.
People talk really with teenagers. Rather than trying to have that conversation face to face, very often it's a good idea to, if you're going shopping, to say, look, will you come and give me a hand, or I'm going down to buy a box of nails or whatever it happens to be, and grab the teenager and get them to come with you. And you can have a conversation in the car because you're not face to face, you're side by side. And you can maybe talk about something a little bit more easily than you would, you know, and it's a little bit more relaxed kind of sort of setting. So I think those kinds of things, those sort of teachable moments are really, again, there's an intentionality about them. You have to think about it, you know, ahead of time, but be looking for kind of opportunities. But then when they do, then take those opportunities.
I'm Andrew Chambers, and this is episode 3 of our 4-part series called Heritage Builders. No matter what age the kids in your care, we hope you'll stay tuned. Today, our own Heather Walsh, Stephen Cardy, and Ger Shanahan will discuss some more practical things that we as parents and caregivers can do to make the most of those teachable moments with our kids. Here's Stephen.
What we do with our time and what we do together as a family defines us and creates a whole series of traditions. And as we talk today, we're going to look at some of the tools that one can use in order to create traditions. And as we said in earlier programs, if our legacy from former generations in our family have been poor and we don't want to repeat them, well, we can start changing them. And the objective of the programs is to help people to look at what do they want their legacy to be? What do they want to create? Because we can do something about it now.
Now, that for me would be something that I would love to know how to do.
Using tradition to instill a strong sense of identity in others is an art and not a science. And I think that's beautiful. I think events maybe might be the easiest way to think about traditions, like the family party once a year, or the family get together when auntie comes home from Australia, or whatever it is. So events might be easy, and we can probably all think back to those events. I can think back to when my aunt would call phone from Australia, and it was, we'd all have to go to my grandmother's house and line up to say hello to her on the phone, and the phone call was going to come at 4:10, you know, and that was it. And we'd all say hello, auntie, and we never saw her, we didn't know anything about her. But we were all lined up to say hello. And it was a tradition, and you didn't miss. You had to be there. It was important. So there's lots of different events that I think create tradition, and they're important events. And the whole idea of tradition is to reinforce what you said, Ger, an identity, to reinforce a family identity, the identity in your home.
The importance of the issue you've raised about creed is this, Heather. What we believe is important, you know, what really are our profound values, generally help us, and that being our creed, if you like, whether it's written down or not is neither here nor there for this point. You know, the thing is that the things that matter to us and are part of our creed, then we've got to give some attention to those. Because if we're going to be intentional in our parenting, and as you asked the question, Ger, to pass on a legacy, you know, intentionally to our children, then the things that we really believe are important are the things we've got to give time to and do something about. And for me as a Christian, you know, the idea of going to church is part of that belief or creed that I have as a dad. So, I mean, I go to church, so I don't expect my children to go and me not go. They come with me. And likewise, you know, there are decision points and there are big opportunities for decision points in their lives, you know, in terms of how that might develop for them. And we might make choices for them about going to camps that would be helpful to them, where they'd meet their peers and they're in the same type of group. Those are decisions we make, which help to create a legacy for them in terms of what is, you know, makes up their life and what becomes their creed, rather than my creed. And how am I not only communicating that creed to them in terms of how I live today in a daily basis, but also how do I, in larger events like Heather mentioned earlier, that are quite separate, say, from the family holiday. And so, you know, if my creed is this, well then, am I living intentionally according to that creed or not? And that's a question I must answer for myself, because if I'm going to be an effective parent passing on a good legacy, then I've got to address myself to that. You know, what is my creed? What am I doing about it? And likewise, as you raise the question, Heather, in relation to stories, You know, we tell stories, and we still tell stories that relate to my family or Margaret's family. And you do likewise. And when we're around each other, we talk about that all the time. I mean, I was at a GAA event last night, and I was talking to a neighbour about something that, you know, that's relevant to us in our world. That was nothing to do with the GAA. But, you know, this is how we define ourselves. This is how we know who we are.
And stories are so important in Irish culture, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a great scrapbooker. That would be a hobby of mine. So my stories are put into the scrapbook in pictures. And the children sometimes, well, they're grown-ups now, they sometimes take the scrapbook down and they see the story of the holiday or the story of Christmas or the story of the event or whatever it was. And I'm just later in life realising the value of that, just to record it and write it down. The scripture tells us to record it, write it down and tell your children. And so, you know, I have a scrapbook where I've recorded some things of what God has done in our lives. Not enough, I hasten to say, but some. You know, times when he's really protected us, times when he's blessed us, times when he's taken us through hard things, difficult things, good things, answers to prayer. And they're recorded there. They're written down. And I think, you know, I'd encourage people to maybe start a little book at home where you just write down the things so that they won't be lost and forgotten. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be just a little notebook. Recording stories is quite important. Traditions should be used as a means to an end. If we use traditions to reinforce our values, to teach our children the truths, the things that we believe are truths, whether the children take them up or not, is not our responsibility. Our responsibility as parents is to pass it on. So we pass on those truths in order that the children see, like our creed, what we were basing our lives on, what it's about. So I have lots of stories in my life of years that were very financially very difficult years for us, where God really moved in unusual ways in meeting our need. And those are very important stories for me to pass on. Mm. Now, whether my children will grow up and when their parents and they have difficult times, actually take cognizance of that is not up to me. But certainly it is important for me to tell them. So, yeah, I think the recording and the replaying of events, if we use our beliefs system and our creed that Stephen spoke about, if we put it in there, it gives purpose to the traditions.
Yes, I think the key words that we keep coming back to is intentionality. This is family.ie and episode 3 of our series called Heritage Builders. We need to take a quick break right now. When we continue, we'll think more about making meaningful family traditions. No worries, it doesn't have to be as daunting as it may sound. And if you do have teenagers, we'll look at a few practical ways you can connect with them more effectively. So don't go away, and do keep in mind that if you'd like to weigh in on the discussion at some point, our text comment line is 086-251-6886, or do feel free to email us anytime, radio@family.ie. Again, by text, that's 086-251-6886, or radio@family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie. If you just tuned in, we're in the midst of episode 3 of our 4-part series of programs called Heritage Builders. You can find more information about Heritage Builders and many other resources to help your family thrive on our website, family.ie. That's www.family.ie. Now, before the break, we began by talking about our family creed and establishing meaningful traditions. Back to today's discussion now, here's Heather.
I think every family by default will find, if they look, that they have some traditions, things that they have become accustomed to doing. The difference between making it a tradition and just something that you happen to do is to recognise it as something of value. So if maybe the first Sunday of every month you all go to Granny's house, well, you could take the attitude that, actually, we all go down to Granny's on the first Sunday of every month and that's just what we do. Or you could say, actually, that's a really significant event for this family and we're going to really cherish that time. Then that will become something that's a tradition. In Ireland, you know, we're not so good at that. We kind of don't really appreciate those things as much as we could do. And yet our tradition is full of passing on the stories. I mean, the old Shanachie that just tells the old stories all the time. So what is it about us that we kind of don't want to really recognise those things? I think that's something we could change.
Just take this example, Heather. In our normal calendar, there's lots of things that we do. Some families are sporty, some families are artistic, some people like going away. you know, to get overseas. They may even be fortunate enough to have relatives or even own a property that's overseas. And in a sense, that gives them the opportunity to spend time together, spend meaningful time, where the relationships are built up, where they're valued and affirmed, as we said in the previous program. And, you know, that is very, very valuable to us, you know, that we can create events. You know, these are things that happen, that go on. Like, I mean, in my case, my children are involved in sports, and the local GAA club, which, some of my kids are playing in, they have the annual fair day, and we go out and we meet all the, you know, I don't mean necessarily the neighbours, but, you know, we meet the people from our village and from our community, from the parish here, you know, where we this is part of our sort of family culture, where we do things together that are meaningful. This is powerful from the point of view of giving a sense of identity. Who are we? We're doing meaningful things, worthwhile things together.
I hear what you say, Stephen, but I think what I'm trying to say is it doesn't have to be big things. It doesn't have to be the holiday in Spain that everybody wants to go on, because maybe not everybody can afford to. It doesn't have to be big things. It could be little things. It could be family night once a month where we play a table game. Costs us nothing.
Absolutely.
We just sit around the table and play Scrabble or whatever it is together. And that can be the tradition. I mean, we have lots of little traditions in our family, little things, that, a lot surrounding Christmas and Easter and things like that, that those occasions wouldn't be occasions for us if we didn't do some of the small things. In a way, a holiday every year became a tradition for us. I don't mean even a foreign holiday. I just mean a break time together.
Yes.
Where we have time to be away together, or at home away even, you know, because it isn't about spending lots of money. It's just about recognising that those are precious times and holding them as precious times. And I think they then become traditions. And if you look in your family, you probably find all kinds of things that could become or have become traditions that we haven't really recognised.
It's interesting, in the conversation I had with Jim Weidman, he tells a story of how in his engagement with his teenagers about creating teachable moments, an environment in which you can talk about things so that they understand who they are and who their identity is, and gives them a strong sense of their own values and what they stand for and why they stand for those things.
You can't expect them to make a decision between right and wrong if you never taught them right. And so one of the concepts is that when those kids are younger, you have the ability to do these family nights, to do these object lessons that become modern day parables that engage them and help them understand the concepts. Now, with teenagers, one of the opportunities that you have is that when you come around the dinner table, right, you try and make sure that you have at least one night. I want to suggest to you, the statistics tell us that you need to be around that dinner table as a family 5 nights a week. But one night a week, one father, here's what he did. He got his teenagers to the table, and they would open in prayer. And then when they finished opening in prayer, as they were eating, he would throw a topic on the table that was an issue of the day that came out of the news. So it could be homosexuality. It could be abortion. It could be gambling. Whatever the issue is, he would throw it on the table. And he would turn to his teenagers and he would say, "For you, I want you to be for it. And for you, I want you to be against it. Let's begin the debate." And it's amazing, because one of the things that make teenagers feel valued is their opinion. They want to share their opinion, because part of the process of maturity and trying to solidify, at least in their own minds for a teenager, what their view is, they have to be able to articulate it. So they will say a lot of things. That's why we tell parents, don't freak out when your kids tell you some things. They're just trying to figure out what it is they believe. But when you have this dynamic going on of a for and against, you get to hear everything that happens in their world. But you, as the parent, got to be ready. You hopefully will have studied that topic ahead of time. And when the discussion seems to be dying down, you say, "Well, let me tell you what God's word says. This is the plumb line against those two different opinions."
I think that's great. And I think one of the things I used to follow a sitcom on the television a long time ago, and it wasn't, you know, the value system that it was demonstrating wasn't really very good. And my children grew up to be of age when they could watch it too. And I was faced with this dilemma: am I going to let my young girls watch this? So we chose... I embraced it and I said, now, girls, this is the program that shows you how not to live your lives. And we used to sit and watch it together. But out of that came brilliant conversations, brilliant discussions. What did you think of the way he said that? Or what did you think of the choice she made there? Now, it might have been a bit of an excuse for me to keep watching my program.
That wasn't it at all.
But I suppose, you know, if we can intentionally use anything, really anything that the world throws at us, that we can pick it up and make a teachable moment out of it, surely that's got to be worth something. Yeah, I think we have to be very savvy as parents and very aware and very alert to the mood of the day and what's happening in society.
I think you're right, Heather. Looking for those teachable moments while your head is buried in the sand is next to impossible. You're listening to family.ie. We need to take another quick time out now and we'll conclude today's programme in just a moment. By the way, this is only the third episode in our four-part series called Heritage Builders. Again, you can find more information at family.ie. So far, we've talked about our family creed and teachable moments. We'll think about how to honestly measure your own progress in just a moment, so stay tuned for the final segment of today's family.ie, right after this. Welcome once again to family.ie. This is episode 3 in our series called Heritage Builders. We've been thinking about ways in which we can pass on meaningful heritage to the next generation. Again, we're not talking about finances or property, but things that last much longer. The social, emotional, and spiritual aroma of our home. As we've mentioned, one of the ways we can do that is to be on the lookout for teachable moments. Once again, here's Mervyn Nutley.
It's when you're out with your kids and you see something and you kind of say, now here's an opportunity for me to say something about this situation. Like even in the schoolyard this morning, there was one kid started pushing another kid and there was a little bit of argy-bargy as we were waiting in the line with my daughter to go to school, and she's only 5 and these were like 6 and maybe a year old or 6-7 year olds. But she kind of looked across and you could tell that she was a little bit concerned about it. So I just kind of took that kind of as an opportunity, just to reassure her that, you know, everything was okay, that they were only playing, it was only kind of thing. But then also just talking about how do we treat each other in situations and that sort of thing, and what's a proper way to treat somebody and a respectful way to treat somebody and a disrespectful way. So that was kind of a little sort of teachable moment. And another thing, that my daughter's only 5, so I don't get the opportunity to do it very often, but occasionally she and I will be in the car together and she's in the child seat in the back and I'm looking at her in the rearview mirror, and we can have conversations in there that we probably couldn't have so easily face to face, because she just want to walk away, I want to go and play. But because she's kind of trapped audience, as it were, in the back seat of the car, I'm there, we can kind of have a conversation.
And that's it, isn't it? Keeping an open ear for those opportunities to communicate with our kids in the everyday activities of life. Of course, it does help when they're strapped into the car. But sometimes, like we said, parents need to create meaningful traditions that keep those doors of communication open. Back now to Stephen, Heather and Ger.
I'm learning from what you're saying is that traditions are valuable so long as they're communicating something worthwhile. We don't have to be bound to traditions from the past, and we can create our own traditions in the present. If we do step out and do that purposefully and intentionally, how do we know they're working?
First thing is, you want to have a good self-image, and if your own self-image is damaged, that's going to be playing into the way in which you're passing on a legacy to the next generation, because it'll affect the way in which you're parenting. Second thing is the issue of personal responsibility. You know, if we model and teach good responsibility, then the likelihood is in the next generation that's going to be adopted by them, and we give respect and therefore we receive it. And we're not asking them to give it, and we're not giving it. We're modelling it, you know, by our parenting. Third thing is delayed gratification. You know, if we teach our kids to wait, not always to have things instantaneously, that there are times when we have to pause and wait and don't get the reward that we're looking for immediately, well, then that's actually valuable. To teach them the idea of delaying gratification, and this comes into another point that I'm going to make in a moment. And the fourth thing is...
Sorry, Stephen, before we go on to delayed gratification, is very hard in today's society where everything is right now, this minute, I'll have it now, I'll buy it now because I can buy it online, I can just click in my numbers and I can buy it. Do you not think it's very tough nowadays?
It may be tough, but I mean, it's actually helpful and it's healthy, because if we only work on the basis of our emotions and how we feel at the moment, we may not make good choices on other substantial issues, because it is important that we learn to live by our creed, if you like, rather than by our mood.
Yeah, that's a very interesting and a helpful definition or change or way of looking at it.
Yeah. Just on the issue of spiritual exploration, if your own spiritual exploration is alive and meaningful, like for me, I'm an active Christian, then the likelihood is that my children will follow in my footsteps, and therefore we'll see that if that's happening or not. And the fifth thing being our priorities. If we say that our priority is our family and then we're never there, or we're too busy, or when we're around, we're not creating this aroma, then we're not giving vent to those priorities which we say are priorities, but we're not living by it. So therefore, it's important that we do that. And we also, in a sense, hold our kids to account for what are their priorities. For example, do they play their part in the home? Do they do the washing up, if that's what they're supposed to do? Do they do their homework? Do they train to be able to play in the sports team, etc.? You know, are these things happening? Are these in play? And finally, as I've mentioned earlier, in the idea of delayed gratification, the whole issue of sexuality. You know, it's a very changed environment in the 21st century, and for those children who are growing up in our world, very different from the world that you and I grew up in. And we need to teach our children what's appropriate, and that what is appropriate, and what we would teach as Christians what's appropriate, is that sex outside marriage is not appropriate, and therefore delayed gratification is a necessity then until you get married. And therefore, if we get our children accustomed to the idea that we don't always get what we want right now, and there are certain things that are worth waiting for, well, why is that the case? Why is it worth waiting for? And we can tell stories, in all probability we may be able to tell personal stories to our own children as to why, you know, sexuality within boundaries is appropriate and not appropriate outside those boundaries, and why delayed gratification is part of that story.
If I can see those qualities emerging in my children, in my parenting role, that's kind of ticking the boxes.
That's true. And I mean, what we've also said, you know, the things that you do each day, the things that you do each week or once a year or once in a lifetime, those are big issues worth making a point about. The things that are appropriate for today, using those opportunities as teachable moments to pass on a healthy and meaningful and worthwhile legacy, a heritage, is invaluable. That doesn't happen by accident. It happens because we're intentional about it.
You've been listening to family.ie. We hope you found today's discussion helpful in raising the future men and women in your care. Don't forget, there are loads of articles, resources and tools to help your marriage, relationships and family thrive at www.family.ie. While you're there, you can find more information about this programme series, Heritage Builders. This has been episode 3 of our 4-part series. You'll also find some helpful books from the Heritage Builders team, including Family Traditions, Intentional Ways to Strengthen Your Family Identity. And while you're online, you can also download free audio copies of this and many of our other radio programs too. You can also follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, find out more on our website at family.ie. We are a registered charity and we really do appreciate your support. So on behalf of Stephen Cardy, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan, I'm Andrew Chambers, and we do invite you to meet us again right here next time.
Our country's in a time of great change and great, you know, maybe crisis is too big a word, but it's a time of change in our country.
We're raising our kids in a toxic culture. It's a very violent culture. Look at the TV shows, look at our video games, right? And so there's this culture that wants to consume our kids. And so the concept is that you gotta form a beachhead. You gotta get into a position where you can now fight the battle with truth to speak against the culture. And you have to be extremely intentional to do this, to make sure that you're giving them truth so they can delineate between truth and non-truth.
And this is a positive change that we can make within each little family in this country.
And this is what that is about. It's just saying, look, this is worth making an effort for, because we can do something really worthwhile.
Until then, slán go fóill. Thank you for listening to family.ie.